If you would take your Bibles, turn with me to the little book of Jude. It's the book right before the book of Revelation. Sometimes this little book is called the preamble or the preface to Revelation because of some of the material that it covers. Jude deals with apostasy. He deals with folks that have turned their back upon the Lord. Jude deals with the ungodly. Of course, the book of Revelation also brings us to those points. And so this little book of only 25 verses has a number of things to reveal to us. But tonight I want us to look at the last verses from verse number 20 down through verse number 25. We'll probably be mainly right here. We may have another couple of other places that we'll read, but primarily be looking at these verses. I find that many times when we look at Scripture, it's good to have a topic. It's good to have something to focus on. But I believe we really learn the Scriptures when we go verse by verse and see what the Scripture has to say for us and say to us. And tonight, we're going to be using these verses, verse 20 through 25. And we will have a topic, but we'll be looking at each one of the verses together. So let's read in verse number 20, the little book of Jude. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And to others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garment spotted, or hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Little book of Jude is a book that gives us some details about ungodliness and how God deals with those that have forgotten the Lord, those that have turned their back upon the Lord. But when we come to these last few verses of this book, we find that Jude is turning his attention to the beloved. He's turning his attention to the child of God. He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So in these last verses of this little book, we find that Jude is dealing and talking to Christians. He's talking to those that have built themselves up. Talking about those that can pray in the Holy Ghost. And by the way, only a saved person can do that. And when God comes on our heart and we are praying in the Spirit, knowing those things that God has for us. But I want us tonight just sort of key in on one little phrase here. It's found in verse number 22, and it's the last three words of that verse, making a difference. I believe we heard this morning our missionary deal with this thing of making a difference. He may not have used those words, but he dealt with wholly following the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we certainly can make a difference in the place where we live, the place where we work, the place where we go to school, whatever we find ourselves, whatever station of life we find ourselves, we can make a difference in the lives of individuals. Someone wrote some time back, wrote these little thoughts and entitled it, "What's the Difference?" It says, "What's the difference between the atheist who could not dream of financially supporting the church and a Christian who does not? What's the difference between the skeptic who doesn't believe the Bible and someone who just doesn't read it? What's the difference in a man in the world who lives for self and the Christian who lives for self instead of God? What's the difference between a man of the world and the Christian who lives like a man of the world?" A lot of times we don't find there's a lot of difference between people that call themselves Christians. They profess Christianity. They profess that they know God. But a lot of times we don't really see the difference. A lot of times we don't know the difference in their life. I think it's very important as a Christian that we, by our life, would show a difference to people that they would know that we are different than they, and that we believe some things, and we are settled in our personal lives about things. And I believe if we would live appropriately and live according to the Scripture, it would show a difference. And I believe in the long run, it would make a difference in the lives of many people. But Jude here, being the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote in his epistle, which bears his name, he says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference." So I want us to notice the words, making a difference. Now the dictionary gives us this definition of difference. It means to affect or to change the case or the situation. And that's making something different. We change the situation. We change the case. We affect something in a way that would make a change. We as Christians, we are called, I believe, to make a difference in the world. We are called to show the world that Jesus Christ is our Lord and He's our Savior. And Matthew tells us that in Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so we believe that we ought to show forth good works that others might see the Lord Jesus Christ and others might be able to glorify our Heavenly Father. Now, if we just say we're Christians and never do anything, they're not going to see much. They're just not going to realize a whole lot of difference in our life. But if they see us acting different, if they see us talking different, if they see us presenting ourselves in a different attitude, in a different way, then they're going to know something has changed in our life or something is different between them and us. Our lives should personally influence others for good, not for bad. And so it is something to be a Christian, to know we're a Christian, but it's better to show that we're a Christian that others might see the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I want us just to think about and ask ourselves the question, is our life making a difference? The Bible says here, there in that verse number 21, or verse 22, making a difference. Have compassion. And we'll deal with that in just a moment. And those things that are prevalent here in these verses, how that we can make a difference in the life. I believe there are three things in these verses that are required that will make us be able to have a different attitude and just to be a difference in the lives of people around us. First of all, I believe we find in verse 20 and 21, I believe we find this word that we would call commitment, to be committed unto the Lord. And we are committed to do something. The Bible says, "But ye beloved, build up yourselves in the most holy Ghost, praying in our holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." To be committed unto the Lord Jesus and to be committed to the work of the Lord, that we build up ourselves in the faith of Jesus Christ. Now the Bible tells us here that we're to build up ourselves in the most holy faith, the faith that comes only from God. Then we can therefore pray in the Holy Ghost and keep ourselves in the love of God. To be committed, that tells us here that we are to build up our faith. Our faith is what gives us life, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works, it's not of anything that we could boast of. So we are realizing that faith brings us salvation, but there's more to Christianity, there's more to being a child of God than just being saved. There is a commitment of life. There is a building up of our faith. The Bible talks about our faith growing and maturing in the Lord. The faith here that is spoken of is that once for all time belief that God gives us. It is the faith. Jude tells us in verse number 3, he says, "I write unto you of a common salvation. It is needful that I write to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." Now the faith here that Jude talks about is that faith that has been delivered to us, and that faith that of belief that has been entrusted to the believer, that we are to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ and to teach and to train them. So he says, "I give diligence to you to write to you." And he says, "It was needful that I write unto you because you got to have to earnestly contend for the faith." Now, somebody might ask you, what faith are you? They have a different meaning about that word than we do. Sometimes somebody will say, what faith are you? They mean, what group are you with, or what denomination are you of? And they're talking about that kind of faith. But Jude here is not talking about the faith of a denomination. It's not talking about the faith of a group of people. It's talking about the faith that's once delivered to the saints of God, and this soul book gives us the faith. It is that which tells us truth and gives us reality. And we're not ever going to make a difference in the life until we build up our faith, knowing what we believe, knowing where we stand, and knowing that we can find what we have in our heart, and that holy faith that God has given us, that we can express it out of the Word of God, that's building up. Of course, to build up means to build upon, to not just stay dormant, not just to stay on the foundation, but to build upon that foundation, not to wood, hay, and stubble, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, but we're to build upon that, not those things, but we're to build on gold and silver, precious stones, those things that are enduring and lasting. And so we're to build up our faith that others would see the Lord Jesus Christ. And it means, literally, we do that by studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that rightly divides the word of truth. Here we find the word that gives us in 2 Timothy. Paul says that we are to study. We're to learn. We're to get into the word. We're not to be ashamed of it, and to rightly divide the scripture. Now, most of the cults today that are in our countries and our country and around the world in different countries, many of them will use the same book that we use. Many of them will use King James. But they do not rightly divide. They will take one verse totally out of context, not having anything to do with what's being said, and it'll say a phrase there, and they'll go off on a tangent and build a doctrine upon a phrase that the Scripture has nowhere else in it ever even thought of anything like that. And so we must, when we study the Scripture, we've got to rightly divide. When you study the epistles of Paul, those little books in the New Testament, and those letters that he wrote, we must first of all understand that Paul was writing to some individuals that had particular problems. The book of Galatians was written to the church of Galatia, and they were having problems with those folks coming in, other folks coming in and trying to teach them you might be saved by grace, but you had to have works of the law to go along with it. And so Paul writes the letter to the book of Galatians, and he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians," he said, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from those things." And he tries to put them back into place. And so we've got to rightly divide. We've got to see who he's writing to, see what he's writing about, get all the context and content of that. And then we can study to show ourselves approved and not to be tricked and not to be swallowed up in some of these false things that go wrong and go on before us. We are to continue to build upon that day by day and year by year as our life goes on. And when we study the Scripture, we'll learn to do what God has for us. Someone has said the best thing to do with the Bible is to know it in the head, stow it in the heart, sow it in the world, and show it in the life. That's pretty good. That's what we need to do with the Scripture. Just simply know it up here, know it in the heart, the head, stow it in our heart. David said, "I will hide thy word in my heart that I what? Will not sin against God." So we know it up here, we stow it or we keep it here, and then not only that, but then we sow it to the world. We tell the world, Jesus says, we're seed sowers. We are deliverers of the seed, which is the Word of God, to the world in the field. And then, to make it complete, they've got to see it in our life. It's one thing to tell somebody something, but it's far greater if we tell them than we show them how to live and serve the Lord. And so, we find here that God tells us, and here uses this little book and the epistle of Jude, written by the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, he had some, I'm sure, stories to be told. God told him to write this book and tells us that we're to build up our faith. that we're to manifest that in our life. So if we will make a difference in our world, we'll have to study and we'll have to do those. Not only that, not only do we have to study, but we need to pray. And here Jude says, we pray in the Holy Ghost. Now some people make that mean something it does not mean. Praying in the Holy Ghost does not mean uttering some words that you cannot understand. Praying in the Holy Ghost means under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And we're in contact with Him, and He knows the very utterances of our heart, and He knows the thoughts and the intents of our life. And we're praying diligently and intently in His name. And we are under His guidance and influence, under His energy and power. We seek His help. We approach the throne of grace, and we focus our minds and concentrate on what God would have us to do, helping us to depend upon Him that we might somehow help other people. We ask and depend upon the Holy Spirit to cleanse our life, and we make requests of Him, and we walk day by day in unbroken prayer to God. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean get in your prayer closet and don't do anything else but pray, but need to be in an attitude of prayer where you get a hold of the Lord anytime you need Him. And that's praying in the Holy Ghost. We set aside those things and those times that we can wrestle even before the Lord. Some of the hardest things that we do as a Christian is to pray. The devil fights that as hard as anything we do. Praying and Bible reading, that's the two things that's hardest for the child of God to do. And that's the most two important things that we are to do. And so here Jude says that we are to build up our faith, that holy faith, and we are to pray in the Holy Ghost. And so that is the illustration there is given. And that is the building up of our faith. Then the second thing that he tells us here under this thing of commitment is that we're to build up our fervor. Notice the Scripture says here, Beloved, build up your faith in the Most Holy, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love and of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Fervor means to have the warmth and the intensity and the adoration toward the Lord. The Bible tells us in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. That's that fervency of our life. We're to love Him. We can never drift beyond God's love and care, but it is a fact that we can drift beyond His blessings. We can never go farther away from God than He is because He has saved us, but we certainly can go beyond close communion with God. We can go farther than away from God than we desire, and therefore our communion and our fellowship is broken. Our relationship is not broken because we're His children, but our fellowship is broken. And we are not able to really have that desire that He wants us to have. And we need to learn to have perfect obedience, to follow fully. As I was listening to Brother Jeff this morning, I knew pretty well what I was going to be preaching tonight. I said, wow, this is right in order, right in line. Because we need to be committed. We need to make a difference in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. And may God help us to do that, to focus. Building is to be a fervent thing, great warmth and intensity. Keep yourselves in the love of God, the fervent love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're to build up our focus, that concentration that's fixed upon one thing, that we are to be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will be focused upon the Lord, He will put our focus upon the world. If we really put our eyes upon the Lord and follow Him, then He's going to help us to see the world as it is, to people that need the Lord and need to be saved. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Jude tells us to looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And so these things that we are to be doing, we are committing ourselves to serving and to loving and doing what God would have us to do. What a glorious day when He returns that He'll say, well done, thy good, faithful servant. Enter into the joys, and what a wonderful time that will be. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, wherefore, beloved, there again, there's that word beloved, that means child of God. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be found in Him in peace, without spot, blameless, not to be accused wrongfully. So there's our commitment. If we're going to make a difference, we got to be committed. If we're going to be different in this world, if we're going to make a difference around our family and our friends, our loved ones, then they've got to see that we're committed to the Lord. They've got to see that we really mean business. They've got to see that we are the same on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and the rest of the week as we are on Sunday morning and Sunday night. They've got to see consistency in our life to build up ourselves in the Lord and to be committed unto Him. Now, the second thing that I believe that will help us to make a difference around us, we find in verse 22, verse number 23, and of some have, and there's the word, compassion. Compassion is pity for the suffering, distress of one another, with the desire to help or to spare. Jude mentions three groups that have need to have compassion. We'll look at those in a moment. But here he tells us that we are to have compassion, making a difference. So if verse 20 and 21 tells us that we've got to keep ourselves in the love of God and we've got to build up in this holy faith and we're committed to God, now the very next thing he tells us here is that on some we have compassion. That means we have pity and for their suffering and their distress, and we have a desire to help them. Someone says compassion is me feeling your hurt in my heart. Being moved with compassion, Jesus looked over the city and he wept with tears as he said, I would have gathered you, but you would not. Many, many times the Bible tells us that Jesus, when he looked upon them, he had compassion upon them. That meant he had pity for where they were. And that meant he wanted to do something. He tried his best. He tried and he worked and he told. But yet many times they would not listen. And so sometimes the garment is spotted by the filth of the flesh. We need to make a difference and have compassion, the wavering, those that are back and forth. And I believe every church has these three groups. We have the wavering. We have those that are not really committed. We have people, we have Christians around us, and doubt has infiltrated their minds, and some began starting doing good, and then they sort of get lax in what they're doing, and they're just wavering. They're just in and out, and they're not settled in what God has for them to do. And Jude says here we need to have compassion on those folks. Now I know most of us, most independent Baptists that I know, when people start wavering, they start telling how bad they are and how wicked they are and how bad they, all the bad things. But I tell you what, the Scripture says you better have some compassion. There are a lot of folks tonight that I can agree with doctrinally, but I cannot agree with their attitudes and their ways. A lot of folks have the same feelings and the same faith, and they preach the same gospel that I do. But when it comes to compassion, it seems as though they have none for anybody. And the Bible tells us that we are going to, if we're going to make a difference, then some of those folks have to have showing some compassion. Now, I'm not talking about throwing in the towel. I'm not talking about compromising. But I'm talking about trying to understand where they are and where they're coming from, what's going on in their life and the pressures and the struggles and the trials. And I'll tell you what, whatever is there, this book has the answer for it. And sometimes it's not just because we point a long finger in their face and say, you're wrong and you're sinful. Even though they may be wrong and it may be sinful, we better understand and show them some compassion to try to get them back in the fold. If we want to make a difference, it's whether or not we want to make a difference. Those that are wavering. Harsh treatment sometimes drives people away. Oh, but mercy many times reclaims them. Mercy does not deny the falsehood or the danger, but it accepts the person with open arms and lets God do the work in their heart. Thank God for His mercy, for one day He saw me for who I was. He knew how I was. He knew what a sinner I was and what I would be without Him. And he still had mercy on me. He made a difference in my life. You know why? Because he had compassion. So the wavering, compassion on those. Then there are those that are wayward. Here Jude says, and on some we have compassion. Here he says, verse 20, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, here's some over here you have compassion, but there's others that we pull them out of the fire. That means we find those folks that are wayward and wrong in their life, and we snatch them from the very fires of the wicked one. Why do we do that? Because they need the Lord. They need salvation. They need something to make a difference in their life. Some have compassion, but some must be snatched from sin and temptation. Some you can deal with lightly, and some you can deal with compassion, but some of them you've just got to go and say, hey, this is what God says. And in doing that, you're opening up the understanding of them that if they continue where they are, God's going to judge them. And sometimes we just snatch them from the fire, the fires of judgment, making a difference. And then he says, and others, save with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. This final group that Jude mentions here is the hardest of all to love. These are the ones that are spotted. These are the ones that are dirty. These are the ones that sin has ravaged their lives. But they are willfully going against God. But he says here, some have compassion, others save with fear, pulling from the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Some people have been spotted very, very harshly from this world. But you know what? Jesus died for them. And He loves them. And whether they be the high society individual that is spotted by sin and is so wrongfully living ungodly, or even down to the skid row person that has nothing, their spots are no difference because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether they be rich or poor, does not matter. Whether they be black, red, yellow, white, God doesn't make a difference in those people's lives. And this word fear here speaks of caution. We must cautiously go after them. It means to influence them for Christ, not allow them to be totally influenced by sin, but show them there's different. We hate the sin, but oh, thank God we can love the sinner. We don't have to condone their sin. We don't have to condone what they're doing, but we certainly can show them that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, that we should certainly care for. That's compassion. Me feeling their hurt in my heart. So here we find, if we're going to make a difference, then we've got to be committed. If you're not committed, you're not going to have compassion. If you're not going to have commitment in your life, compassion won't last very long, because what little compassion we show is a work of the flesh, and it dwindles away. But when we're committed to God, that compassion is there in our heart because He has put it there, because we've built ourselves up in the holy faith. And we pray in the Holy Ghost, and we know what God wants. And we see folks that have such dire needs in their life, and Jude says, some of them have compassion, some of them pull from the fire, some of them snatch them, even though they've been spotted by sin. They're wavering, they're wayward, and they're willfully sinning against God. But you know, the grace of God will do the same thing for them that it did for us. Saved by grace. Thank the Lord, salvation. Loving the sinner. Hating the sin. And before a person can really get down here to this point where we are, where we can see the garments that's spotted with the sin of the flesh, we better make sure that we're strong in the faith. Because this old flesh is weak. This old flesh cannot endure. The only thing we're going to, only way we can endure for the things of the Lord is to make sure we're committed to Him and serving Him so that we can make a difference. So that's commitment and that's compassion. And lastly, I find in verse 24 and verse 25, I just call this character. He says in verse 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh, thank God. What a wonderful verse. To Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, so be it or amen. And so here we find character. Our commitment is to excel in the excellence of serving God. Someone says that character is what you are when no one is watching. Now, when somebody's watching us, we try to dress it up okay so they won't go off and say, well, did you see that? So that's our reputation. But character is what we are when nobody's looking. Character is what we do when nobody knows it. And here I find that we are to have some character because He had character, and thank God He's able. The greatest verses in the Bible tell us that He is able. Now, unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, He's the stronghold. He's the strong man. He's the keeper, and we need to be blameless before the world, and He's able to keep us that way if we stay in the heart of God, stay in the center of His will. To be committed, or to be making a difference in the world, we must be committed. We must have character. We must have compassion. To be a character that people can look at. Someone else said, not only is character what we are when no one is watching, somebody else wrote, reputation is what people say about you on your tombstone. I love to go through old cemeteries. Now, years ago, it's not so prevalent today, but years ago, they would write on tombstones, and the message is what they lived. Well, you find some pretty interesting tombstones sometimes. I found a few, I said, I hope that's not on mine. I found a few, I said, well, I hope maybe that might be on mine. That's our reputation, what they say about us. The character is what God's written about us in His book. The tombstone's one thing, that's what people say. But when God writes her in the book, that's what He says about us. And really, that's all that we have to worry about. Philippians 2:15-16 says that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights. If the world is dark and we're the light of the world, we're going to shine. And here, Paul told this church of Philippi, he said, you need to be blameless and harmless. You're the sons of God and you need to not be rebuked. And he says, you're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I believe we all desire to shine. The children's song says, let this little light shine. Let it shine for Jesus. Let it shine around the world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. How long? Let it shine till Jesus comes. That takes commitment. Let it shine till He returns. That takes commitment in our part. And so we are to shine as lights in the world. Then he goes on there in Philippians chapter 2. Says, holding forth the word of life. You know what that is? The word of God. If we're going to do anything for God, we've got to do it according to this book. We've got to do it according to His plan, His method, His way, and His manners. All those things. Paul said, you know what manner I came in unto you? And he's talking about his message and his mannerism. He said, you know how I came. And he said, I came with tears and night and day for you. No wonder Paul had a great testimony because he had compassion upon those folks. Paul told the people of Philippi they just need to clean up their lives if they were going to do the mission of the church. What is the mission of the church? What are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to build homes and we're supposed to give out food and supposed to answer phone calls and pay people's bills. No. I don't know how many phone calls I get. Does your church help the down and out? It's hard to answer that. I told one time, I said, if you'll come to church, I'll show you. But what they're wanting is a handout. Now, there's folks that really need that. And again, you have to be very, very careful and have to have a discerning spirit how to handle those issues. But Paul says here that we're to hold forth the word of life to a generation that doesn't know God. And if we're going to fulfill the mission of the church, what is the mission of the church? We're studying the book of Acts on Wednesday night, and the mission of the church is to tell the world, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Make sure they know that He is the one that is the Savior. We need to be blameless. We need to be harmless. He tells those church, that church in Philippi, that ye may be blameless and harmless. The word harmless there means innocent. Just innocence speaks of purity. And we're not going to do anything for the Lord unless we have these things, our commitment to serving Him. We need to have a commitment to excellence. And then we need to have a understanding of what eternity is all about. Jude concludes his 25-verse epistle, and he says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. That'll keep us right. These things will keep us holy. These things will keep us humble. To serve Him. To realize that one day we're going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account of everything done in our body. Now, I'm glad I'm not going to have to pay for my sins. Thank God they're under the blood. But I am going to give an account to everything done in my body, whether it be good or bad. Whether I served Him the way I should serve Him, the way I've lived my life as in whole and in general. Making a difference takes commitment. Making a difference takes compassion. Making a difference takes character. Those are three things that Jude says. And I dare say that the Lord's half-brother saw all these things in the life of the Savior. He saw them as a young man. He saw them as His disciple. He saw them as Jesus walked and talked among His peers, and as He preached to those multitudes on the seashore, Jude was seeing that Jesus certainly was committed. He said, I do always those things my Father's told me. He was committed to the task. When He got to Gethsemane, He said, Oh, Father, let this cup pass from me. I want to do whatever Thy will be. He saw commitment in the life of His brother, His half-brother, Jesus. He's not only that, He saw compassion. Maybe He heard the words when Jesus looked down upon the little twinkling lights there of the city of Jerusalem as He's there on the hillside. And there in the afternoon, the evening, as the sun had already set, Jesus looked upon that city and wept over the city. Maybe Jude heard those words, how oft I would have gathered you, as a hen doth gather her chickens, and you would not. Jude saw the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm sure in the life of the Lord, there's no doubt that Jude saw that Jesus had character. He was who He was. It doesn't matter if He's in front of Pilate, or it didn't matter if He's in front of Peter. It didn't matter where He was, Jesus had character. He always did those things that was right in the sight of the Father. And every task that was given to the Lord, He accomplished that. And what Jesus did, He got it right. He made a difference. I'm glad He made a difference in my life many, many years ago. You that are saved, you can go back to your life. And a lot of struggle sometimes. Everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different testimony. But we can all say one thing in common. He's made a difference. I'm not what I used to be. Oh, but thank God I'm not what I shall be. All because He's still making a difference. And so He has told us, go do the same thing. Make a difference in the lives of people. Tomorrow when you meet someone, if the Lord gives you opportunity, you ought to try to make a difference in their life. They might need to see somebody with character. It may be just something, some little something. They might need to hear somebody with some character speaking to them. They might need to see somebody who's committed to the Lord. They might need to see somebody who has compassion on them. Oh, they may have been beaten down already by family and friends, and sometimes even in their churches they get beat down. They might just need to see somebody that has some compassion. What does that account to? What does that amount to? Making a difference. And I believe that's what God's called all of us to do. Make a difference. May God help us to do that. Help us to commit our lives to Him. Say, God, I want to do it. I want to do my best to serve You. And if we really do, we'll make a difference. Let's stand together tonight.